Thank you for enduring this whole evening, and I know you think, wow, it's been a long time, man, it's almost 9 o'clock. What else do you have to do? Right, you're going to sit home and watch some TV, play cards? This is the best place for us to be, right here talking about what Jesus did for us. I'm closing it up with the last statement, which is out of Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and we've paralleled the passages, but this whole thing starts in context with, of course, Jesus going to the cross. When you come to verse 44 and 45, it says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun had stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two." The temple had a curtain which was like 10 inches thick. The only one that could enter into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. And the high priest would often have a rope tied to his ankle and bells on his tassel so that as he went in, if there was any sin in his life, he would literally fall over and die. And they would hear the bells ringing and they would tug on this rope and be like, okay, another one's down. Another one bites the dust. That's where they came from. And they would just pull him out. But that's the reality was because nobody was perfect. Nobody was holy. And so here comes Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. You say, what is the cross? The cross is everything. It's everything. Without it, there is no redemption. There is no forgiveness for people like you and me who are sinful and totally depraved. We need the cross. Jesus came for the cross. He set an example for us. He taught. He loved. But he came for the cross. And the cross is only half the gospel. Because in the cross we find forgiveness. But in his resurrection we have hope and power. And that's what God wants to give us. Not only forgiveness, because, you know, we all have a sickness. And that sickness is a disease. And that disease kills us. So if you bring somebody back to life after the disease has killed them, but you don't cure the disease, they're just going to die again. Sin is the disease. So you got to cure the disease. And the only way to cure the disease is through the power of the cross. He bore the wrath that you and I deserved, that every person who had ever lived deserved. And so Jesus, bearing that wrath, at the end speaks seven times from the cross, which I think is very interesting. Seven times. Seven is the number of completion or perfection. Seven times. His last act was that of confidence, contentment, and faith. And also love, crying out again to his Father. He begins by praying to his Father, "Father, forgive them." As a human, in the frailness and weakness of as a man, he's pleading for those who would persecute him and those who would come later. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Praying for those who would hear the gospel. And then in the end, cries back out to his Father. He says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Seven is also the number of rest. It's the number of completion. It's the number of perfection. And it's also the number of rest found in a finished work. God rested on the seventh day. Jesus was entering into rest. And then providing rest for all of us. Without the cross, we have no forgiveness. Without the cross, there is no salvation. Without the cross, there is no hope. And so, yeah, for us, it's critical. If you're a Christ follower, it all begins at the cross. And let me tell you something else. It all leads to the cross. It really does. It leads to the cross because if you don't take up your cross and follow Jesus, you're not a disciple. Then what are you? This Sunday, I'm going to dispel some myths around Easter and American Christianity. I'm so looking forward to the Sunday. And I'm going to talk about the phrase, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, that wasn't even started until the late 1800s. It didn't even become popular until the early 1900s. You need a personal relationship. You never find that in scriptures. You'll never find a place where it talks about the sinner's prayer. Well, if you pray this prayer, there's nowhere in the scriptures where it says you need to invite Jesus. You don't invite Jesus. He invites you. It's not in there. You need to invite Jesus into your heart. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Just as I'm sure Jesus was too. As he was hanging on the cross and he committed his spirit into God, which also was an act of his humanity, trusting in the Father to you. Father, I commit myself. Just as we should do in everything, in every aspect of our life. God, I commit myself to you. Lord, here are my hands. Lord, here is my mouth. Lord, here are my feet. Lord, here is my heart. Here's my mind. I commit it to you. Why? Because he trusted the Father. My question as we close this evening is, do you trust the Father? Do you really trust him with all that you are? Can you say to the cross, I'll cling? Because I trust in God's work in my life. I know that whatever he's doing, for whatever purposes that I can't even understand or comprehend, that he's at work. Because he's sovereign. And in his ultimate power, he is working all things together for my own good and for his glory. Because his word tells us so. Don't add things to the scriptures. Don't take away. Believe what the truth says. If God wanted something else in the scriptures, he would have put something else in there. If he wanted to take stuff out, he would have taken stuff. This is the word of God. It is what we need to know. And this is how we need to live. And when Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, is to take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me, he meant it. Those weren't just bumper sticker signs. They're not for the serious Christian. They're for all Christ followers who call the name of Jesus, who claim to walk in his footsteps, who say, I want to love him with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. And that means loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' work was finished. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. When does a person sit? When they're done with their work. Now it's our turn. That's right. He has created and called us to a work. That's why he created and established the church. He died so we could have forgiveness. He rose again so we could have hope. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us as he created and formed, fashioning the church body, that we might do his work here on earth. He's resting. We need to be working. We will enter into a rest, Hebrews says, when our work is done. But for right now, we need to be about the Father's business. Amen. Just like Jesus was. That's your job. That's my job. So that's what the pastor's supposed to do. That's what we're all supposed to do. We are all called to be ministers in Christ. To stop arguing and worrying about all the little things that we get so caught up and focus on the God who saved us. I'm going to pray for you and pray for me. And then we're going to take communion. Because the cross is about Jesus coming and laying down his life. That you and I might have life. And because he gives us life, then we give him back our lives. We're like, here, Lord, you gave me life. Now I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. I want to exalt you with all that I am and all that I do. And communion is a reminder that it was because he went to the cross. It's because his body was broken. Yeah, you've heard it a million times. You know, yeah, about how he was beaten. But it was all true. It's all for real. I mean, imagine that if it was you being beaten like that and spit on and mocked and humiliated and stripped naked before the world. He endured the cross. And then not only did he endure the humiliation of mankind, but the wrath of God for all poured out on him. That he would feel the abandonment of the Father for the first time in all eternity, where he does cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? With the weight of the world, literally, on his shoulders. Experiencing the wrath that you and I deserve. He did it all for us. And then he rose to give us hope. It's all in Jesus. Everything is about Jesus.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.